This is Radio Free Pro Wrestling, your home for smart and stunning wrestling debates with lifelong wrestling fans, Sean and Ashley. Let the debate begin.
Hello, and welcome to Radio Free Professional Wrestling. Yes, this is Sean, still live from the frozen tundra that is Knoxville, Tennessee, and along with my tag team partner, Ashley. Ashley, nothing really big happened this week in professional wrestling, right?
Oh, yeah, no, nothing at all.
You know, I was just minding my own business here as we're watching the snow come down here in Knoxville, and you sent me this message like Thursday going like, New Japan Pro Wrestling announces Yuzuka Okada is leaving New Japan Pro Wrestling at the end of his contract, which is in 2 weeks at January 31st. Now, he is doing 3 dates in February for New Japan Pro Wrestling, ending up with the New Beginnings in Sapporo, Japan, that mega show that has the first time in 20 years steel cage match between the United Empire and the Bullet Club. This card coming out on February the 11th for New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to be the end of an era for New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Absolutely. We both kind of took that bold prediction. Like, there were rumors that, you know, Okada's contract was coming up. There may be, you know, there may be a chance he was leaving. But we both took that prediction and said we thought he was leaving. But I genuinely thought with the shakeup in the leadership, there was a chance that he would stay. So, like, while sort of not being surprised, still very, very surprising to see Okada leaving. He was very emotional at the New Beginning in Nagoya this weekend. And this is crazy.
You know, Ashley, I don't think we actually believed that he was going to leave, especially when you have Tanahashi being the new president for New Japan Pro Wrestling. And, oh, by the way, February 11th, possibly their very last meeting in the wrestling ring, as we have the Ace versus the Rainmaker one last time.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, both with Okada leaving, with like Tanahashi kind of winding down, was like seemingly with everything with his in-ring career, with his condition, and now taking on the role as president, New Japan is definitely going to have a different outlook in 2024 now.
Well, it's going to be a lot of weight coming down onto people like Naito, David Finlay, Sonata. There's going to be a gaping hole in the top of this New Japan Pro Wrestling main event scene, and it's just who wants to go out there and get that quote-unquote brass ring.
Yeah, absolutely. And New Japan is not devoid of young talent and devoid of people that are absolutely capable of stepping up. They have quite a handful of really great young talent that I think if they gave them the green light to go ahead and to steal the show, I think any one of them would be capable of doing it.
They had a few talents that just arrived back at Wrestle Kingdom 18. If you go back and look at that undercard for that event, there's at least 3 guys who are future blue chip stars in that company.
It's going to be a struggle. There's no replacing Okada. There's no replacing an Osprey, but they have people capable of stepping up and becoming stars.
I actually like the statement that Tanahashi had about the painting as Okada. He said, even after the rain ends, there's always a rainbow. So now they're looking forward into the future post-Okada.
Absolutely, and Hiroshi Tanahashi is certainly capable hands, so I'm excited to see what he does with this young talent and obviously the veterans that are still there.
Well, let's move on to the control center because it's a busy week in professional wrestling, even when half the country is snowed in.
This is your Radio Free Pro Wrestling Control Center. All the wrestling news you need to know.
Okay, so first news story, Ashley. We learned literally during Friday night SmackDown. Unfortunately, WWE World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins has suffered an ACL injury, apparently. And he's going to be on Monday Night Raw this evening to give us an update on his future with that title. I got a strong feeling that either Damian Priest is going to cash in, or are we going to see Vacant become a 43-time WWE World Champion?
Yeah, this is awful news. Obviously, losing somebody of Seth Rollins' caliber for WWE is going to hurt them. But they do have a chance to push somebody like Damian Priest with the cash in. I would let him do it. It'd be some good heel heat for him if you, you know, cashing in on an injured Seth Rollins and kind of letting him see what he can do with Judgment Day and carrying that brand.
True. And I feel like if Rollins is able to work 5 minutes or something to give Priest a chance to do that cash in, I think that would be the best way to go here and try to make, you know, eliminate out of this bunch of limits you just got, because they were pushing like Seth Rollins and CM Punk feud for WrestleMania. That's going to be put on hold now. And we had Seth Rollins with a world title match coming up at the Royal Rumble.
They're definitely going to have to find a way to work around it. But I think if you gave this guy, Damian Priest, the ball, let him run with it, I think you could build a good program for him for the upcoming pay-per-views.
I do believe so. I feel like you've been toying with this idea of having Priest cash in this title shot, and he's failed every time he's tried to cash it in. I find he'd be like kind of like Damian Sandow, Cody Rhodes, and Otis, where they were trying to cash in, they failed every time, and it was going to be one of those, oh, hey, this is the one of the few times where having that Money in the Bank title shot didn't guarantee you the automatic world title.
Yeah, I think it just makes a lot of sense to have him do it. With Ripley kind of leading the women's division as champion, I think having another champion in the Judgment Day and having them kind of rule over the brand, I think it could be a great idea.
And it gives you a chance to push everything back, get some new plans together, because now you lost Seth Rollins probably for most of the 2024. Fingers crossed we won with Seth Rollins and a speedy recovery.
Absolutely.
Okay, so my second news story is reported by WrestleZone, and it looks like one independent wrestler, Brian Keith, is signing with AEW. Now, if you haven't seen Brian Keith lately, he's been wrestling for AEW off and on for the last 3 months or so. And every time this guy comes out to the ring, he impresses the hell out of me. And I feel like this is a good signing for this company.
Yeah, absolutely. There was quite a push that I saw online to get him signed. And he's absolutely knocked it out of the park every opportunity he's had. So to see him get signed is great.
Okay, so our third news story of the week. We're going back a few weeks because we've been on a break. But Pro Wrestling Noah announced Kota Ibushi's injury diagnosis. As if you remember, he did one match for their New Year's event. And coming into that match, he was already suffering like an ankle injury. And apparently, he wrestled on a bad ankle and it became worse. So with this injury from Kota Ibushi, Noah made this announcement. Kota Ibushi has a right tibular ligament tear and a right atrial lateral ligament complex injury. So they don't give a timetable for this injury for Ibushi, but he saw this match back at New Year's Day. He didn't look good and he was needing help to walk back to the ring. We may not see Ibushi for most of 2024, and we want to wish him a speedy recovery just like Seth Rollins.
Yeah, this is awful. Just kind of coming back off the last injury, if he can come back, he's certainly going to have to work on changing his style.
I feel like in Japan, he had that pressure of being like, he's Ibushi, he's one of the top level main event people in Japan. And every time you see Ibushi on the card, you have a certain level in your mind of what he's going to do. And unfortunately, he's one of the people who feels like, I need to do this no matter what. I really feel like he needs somebody to go like, let's tone it back just a little bit. I feel like he'd be better being stateside in AEW full time, and maybe AEW going like, we should just take your time, heal up. We'll have you every now and then on the major pay-per-views, but you don't need to go out here balls to the wall.
Yeah, no, absolutely. His styles and a lot of the styles of people in New Japan are certainly unsustainable.
Very true. And we'll keep you updated on Ibushi's injury and his road to recovery, because he is one of those talents that we want to see have a long, lengthy career here stateside and in Japan. Okay, so one final story, and it's another injury story, unfortunately. As I went over to Instagram, I was looking up Colin King, who is one of the best female independent wrestlers on the planet at the moment. She's wrestling for TNA in their Knockouts division, and unfortunately, she's suffered an ACL tear, and she's out 9 to 12 months. We want to wish Colin King a speedy recovery, because she is one of those blue chip talents that you're going to know her name in 12 to 24 months.
Yeah, injury bug hitting all the promotions.
Yeah, it's like starting 2024, and you're thinking like, oh, we'll just ease our way into it. And it's like injury after injury after injury. So we're going to leave the control center here. We're moving over to the stunning six questions of the week.
Time to ring the bell. as Sean and Ashley debate six stunning questions from the week of wrestling. All the whys. And what the hell was that?
Okay, Ashley, my first stunning question for you. TNA is back from the dead. They had their pay-per-view this past weekend, and they had a very big surprise on it. Nick Nanoff, the former Dolph Ziggler from WWE, made his debut on that pay-per-view, and he's already been on the first episode of TNA Impact after that, where he basically said, hey, I'm here to go after the TNA world title, which would be against Moose. What does this signing for TNA of Nick Nanoff mean for the company?
I think this is a huge signing. TNA has obviously gotten so much interest and buzz around themselves with this rebranding and the roster they have going right now. To sign somebody of this caliber is going to show so many other people who are free agents right now that TNA is a great place to be right now. There's a wealth of young talent, and I can't wait to see something like Trey Miguel versus Nick Nemeth. Like, we're going to get some good matches.
You know, you can easily have Josh Alexander versus Nick Nemeth. You could have Chris Sabin versus Nick Nemeth. You could have Alex Shelley versus Nick Nemeth. There's a whole corpacovia of talent in TNA that Nick Nemeth has never had a chance to wrestle, and now he has a chance to do his own thing.
Yeah, and kind of let off the leash. I'm excited to see what he does.
I am excited to see what this does for Nick Nemeth. I feel like there's only up from here, because I feel like he's been with the WWE forever, like 19 years, as he said in his promo on Impact. And this is his very first year to be Nick Nemeth. And you got to watch out, because this guy has a chip on his shoulder. And I feel like he's going to show the world, pun intended, that he is one of the best independent talents, and the WWE should never let him go.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's going to be on a tear here in TNA.
And we can't forget that he made a surprise debut at Wrestle Kingdom, and apparently he's on the trail of one David Finlay, because he's after all kinds of go. He's going to be a belt collector in 2024.
I'm for it. Let's go.
Okay, stunning question number two. If you were fortunate enough, if you saw Battle in the Valley, New Japan Pro Wrestling's annual trip to Southern California in January, we get to see Okada versus Will Ospreay, first time ever on North American soil. And let me tell you, if you ain't seen that match, you need to go watch it. My question for you, Ashley, is what is the legacy of Okada versus Ospreay in New Japan Pro Wrestling history?
It's certainly untouchable. Kind of everything from almost the start to the end is like intertwined. They're so connected through everything, through Okada, like, bringing in Ospreay, through Ospreay turning on him, through all the matches they've had, through kind of like this kind of exodus of New Japan together that they've had is even kind of seemingly there. It's very strange, but kind of poetic in a way.
I feel like these two gentlemen are the two big talents that drew a lot of eyes from North America over to New Japan Wrestling in the mid-2010s. And we've been watching these guys grow as wrestlers through the years and their battles, and going to this one, we're thinking, oh, this is nice. This is Will Ospreay versus Okada one last time before Will Ospreay leaves for AEW. We didn't know that Okada was going somewhere too.
It's crazy. It's absolutely insane to have two talents of that caliber leave at the same time. And it just two guys that have been so intertwined with each other in the top positions in two of the top positions in the company. Unreal. Like, what a legacy to leave.
Well, here, I'm going to throw you a second question here too. Can you think New Japan Pro Wrestling can overcome the loss of Will Ospreay and Okada at the same time? Is this too much for them to overcome? Are we going to see a dip in popularity in New Japan Pro Wrestling?
It's certainly possible. Like I said earlier, Okada is irreplaceable. He's Okada. That's a once in a generation type of talent you have there. And Ospreay himself, even alone the last year he had in 2023, like, proved that he is without a doubt one of the best professional wrestlers we've seen. I said earlier, I genuinely think they have enough young talent and some really great young talents who are capable of stepping up, as long as they're given the green light to do so, there's somebody there that is going to grab it and run.
True. I saw online where somebody was comparing this to, like, say, WWE / WWF around 1994, 95, right after you saw Hogan, Macho Man, and that generation kind of slide off down to WCW, and Vince McMahon was looking around going like, okay, I have who now in WWF I can use? Oh, I got Bret Hart. I have Shawn Michaels. So there's this void, and like we were talking about at the beginning of the show, who's going to step up? Who's going to take this opportunity? Because it's an opportunity to advance your career now, because these two gentlemen who spent a lot of time at the top of New Japan Pro Wrestling's card are now with two different companies, and we may see them from time to time in New Japan Pro Wrestling, depending on where they go, but they're not full-time anymore with New Japan Pro Wrestling. So you get two slots there for two individuals to come up the card, and there's a lot of pressure on David Finlay being that next top foreigner talent, and I feel like that's why he has that new NJPW global title, and he's going to be the centerpiece for the foreign side of that company.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to be for a while. And it makes you kind of wonder who's going to take on more of the leadership role of United Empire with Will Ospreay being out too, because somebody's going to have to step up for that stable. It doesn't seem like they're disbanding. So
that New Beginning in Nagoya card, they had a 8-man tag versus the Bullet Club, and it broke down to a melee. And I got a feeling that maybe TJP may be the quote unquote new leader of the United Empire once Will slides off to AEW, or it could be Jeff Cobb.
Yeah, either one. I mean, TJP certainly has like the experience, the talent to do so. And Jeff Cobb is certainly a freak athlete. So seeing somebody like him step up would be great.
Okay, so I'm moving on to my third standing question. And we're going back a week or so to cover some things we were wanting to talk to while we took a break. And actually, while we were taking the break, AEW had your favorite event of all time. It's one of their Battle of the Belts episodes. Actually, this last one had a 19-minute street fight between the tag team champions Ricky Starks and Big Bill versus Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho. And actually, that 19 minutes felt like 29 minutes, and I was wishing it was over.
I feel like we can do away with these. I feel like this is more of a network obligation type of thing than anything AEW actually cares to do.
Actually, I had so much hope for these things when they first announced them, because me being the big WCW fan, I was thinking, oh, there'd be like the Clash of the Champions. This is where you can have title changes outside of your big pay-per-views. And oh, by the way, you can treat these suckers like your B pay-per-view level shows. You know how many title changes we had on your thing?
One, maybe?
Bingo. One title change in the history of Battle of the Belts. I feel like there's at least 8 of them now.
They've all felt so inconsequential. It's been insane. Like, not a single one has mattered in the grand scheme of anything. You get some, like, there's just some fine matches. There's some good stuff in them, like, in ring-wise. But otherwise, they're predictable. They're people you don't normally see going against a champion on any other show. So they kind of just throw it on these Battle of the Belts. I'm not sure if this is something, like I said, like it's more of a network obligation, but as a fan watching, it's certainly something that I think they could do away with.
True. We'll have to wait and see. And hopefully in the next Battle of the Belt, we may get a title change. Who knows? Okay, so we're moving on to our next stunning question. And Ashley, it's been 2 weeks. We've seen Chris Jericho in a street fight. We've seen Chris Jericho in the backstage. The one thing we really haven't seen is Chris Jericho in front of a live crowd. And we kind of know why. He's still dealing with the ramifications of these allegations that were surfacing around New Year's Day. How do you feel about AEW's handling of Chris Jericho since everything happened?
I don't know. I'm a bit torn. I stand by what I said a few weeks ago, that they should have taken him off the pay-per-view with everything that came out. It was just a safer bet. With the allegations that were out there and then seemingly a little bit gone back on, I'm not sure what's going on with that entire situation. It seems very weird, but it doesn't seem like there's anything solid out there that can be backed up. If there is, like, I hope that somebody would come forward and actually say something. Like, we don't want anybody hiding behind anything. If something has happened, we would certainly want it to be dealt with. I hope Tony Khan is understanding that, like, maybe right now it's for the best if we take Jericho off TV for a bit. When we did our Winston Awards a few weeks back, I listed Jericho as my worst of 2023, and we haven't started off very good in 2024. And I think at the very least, taking him off TV and getting him some time to like rehab or do whatever and take some just a break for now would be beneficial.
You know, I'm probably hoping that, oh, hey, Fozzie, do you have a tour coming up? Let him go do a tour for a while. Chris, go do a new Fozzie out of him. Just take some time. Don't come back for a bit. And hopefully when you come back, everything's settled. We know what truly happened. And if nothing really did happen, you had a chance to clear your name and go after the person who started the rumors and that podcaster who I don't want to mention because the dude's backtracked his statements and basically said, oh, hey, I just don't like Chris Jericho. I'm like, there's some people I don't like, but that isn't going to make me want to go out and go like, hey, I'm going to compare this person to Wiseman. I'm like,
You can absolutely not like him or his personal politics, understood, but to put an allegation out there like that and then not even stand by it for 48 hours is kind of just fishy. I really hope, above all anything, I just hope Kylie Rae is okay. Like, I hope she is okay. I hope she is fine. And I hope this stuff either gets sorted or, you know, is dealt with in one form or another.
Exactly. It needs to be taken care of so everybody can go their separate ways.
Yeah. Like I said, give us a break from Jericho. Either way, even before this, everybody needed a break from Jericho, I'm sure. And this has only solidified that.
True. Let's put this to the side, Ashley. Chris Jericho has been with AEW since day one, and we're 4 years in. This is one of his longer stints in professional wrestling. Usually he goes away for a while. He reinvents himself and comes back. I feel like it's time for him to go search for a new Chris Jericho and get reinvented.
Yeah, he's only taken, it seems like one Fozzie tour, I think it was. And then there was like an arm injury he had that kept him out for a while, but he was still even popping up on TV in the cast. So, I mean, I genuinely think that if we got a break from and got Jericho off TV for a bit, it would give somebody else some time to shine there.
And true. I mean, like, there's a Daniel Garcia, Claudio Castagnoli, Eddie Kingston, Ortiz and Santana. There's a lot of freaking talent on this roster that you can slot into that slot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Daniel Garcia all the way.
Okay, so we're moving on to my next stunning question. Now, for you people who are going to watch Elimination Chamber live, get ready. Mark this down. On the East Coast, it's going to start at 5 a.m. Eastern. So get ready, get your breakfast as we're watching Elimination Chamber. And Ashley, my question for you is, do you want to see Nia Jax versus Rhea Ripley for the WWE World Women's Championship to be the main event at Elimination Chamber?
I think there is a way it could be done where it could be interesting. These are two big powerhouse women. You got to keep it simple, though, I would think.
They've been building the story for like the last couple of weeks on Raw, where Nia Jax has come down, basically laid waste to the women's division, and she beat the man, Becky Lynch. So she's literally beat every other female on that side of the roster except for the champion and Rhea Ripley. And Rhea Ripley is the only one standing up to her. So this needs to come to a head somewhere. It's not going to be the Rumble, because I feel like that's going to be another match. And we kind of got a side story going with the man, Becky Lynch, wanting to win the Rumble to get her chance at Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania, which, oh boy, that's going to make some money. So here we are. Elimination Chamber is in Perth, Australia. You have an Australian with a title. She's very remarkable. She could go around, do all the talking needs to do to get this match going. And it needs to be 2.5 minutes, and it needs to be a riptide 1, 2, 3.
Hey, even if you do something like that, I mean, it's like you said, it's going to be in her, front of her kind of like home country. Give her the big win, the big squash win like that. Let her get over super huge. Like, she's already going to be like already like the hometown hero. So let her get like this big pop and this big win like that. That would be great.
Exactly. I mean, you're going to have an Elimination Chamber match on this card. So that could be like the semi-main event, or you can advertise it as a double main event. So you can hide this match. It doesn't need to be that long. because you already have probably one or two chamber matches on his card. So we can get this done. We can get out of the way and Nia Jax can go back to the mid card. We don't have to worry about her. So I'm moving on to my next stunning question for you. Ashley, how do you feel about the returning of AEW rankings to AEW TV as it was announced on Collision that starting in February, wins and losses matter once again because they're going to keep track of the wins and losses?
I'm fine. I like this. I kind of liked the rankings when we originally had them. I guess the biggest complaint being they weren't always abided by. I don't know if they're meant to be so strict. You either use them or you don't. You know, like you have to pick one. We can't kind of do what we did last time and pick and choose when it's convenient to use them. If you're using them, great. Let's use them. If we're not, why bring them back?
I'm with you. I can see this as being a different way to present professional wrestling. It's more of a sports-based style of professional wrestling. The caveat is you got to work it into your storylines. And the first time they tried to roll the sucker out, they had a few months where they were good about it. They were nailing it left and right. Then it kind of got wishy-washy and they kind of quietly slipped that away. And they're like, oh, we don't need that no more. And now here we go again. Tony's going like, let's bring this back. Let's make this the center focus of our program going forward. And I'm with you. They need to either be 100% behind it or go like, you know what? That was a nice little fad we had. We'll just keep it in the past. Or hey, you know what? Instead of keeping quote unquote true records of wins and losses, they could do the WCW thing where each week you have the Power 10 where you name the top 10 people in line for the AEW International title, the top 5 people for the AEW Women's title. And you don't have announced records. You can just move the names up and down and go like, hey, this person had a great victory on Dynamite, so they move up 2 spots. This person suffered a defeat on Rampage. They go down 3 spots. That's how you do the sucker and do it right.
Yeah, definitely. Something like that could be a little more, at least a little more workable. I think this all started when FTR was the number one ranked tag team for like, I don't know, months on end with every other tag team under the sun getting a tag team title shot except FTR. So I understand, like, it didn't seem like FTR didn't want a tag. They seemed like they were like, hey, we're number one ranked. We should be using these rankings. And they just weren't. It didn't seem like there was any particular reason not to. So like I said, and like you agree, like as long as they use them and stick by them and actually factor them into either their storylines or how they're doing everything, great, let's do it. But if not, just do away with them again. There would be no point.
Well, of course, I made a Twitter poll when I heard this announcement on the Collision, and it's been about 24 hours since I launched my poll. I give people 4 options, okay? So I said, how long does this quote-unquote ranking return last? 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, over a year? Ashley, which one do you think had the most votes?
I would say option B.
Womp womp. You know, I would be with you. I would have thought maybe that would be what us and our viewers would think. Our listeners are going like very positive. They got faith in this new AEW ranking system because 57% of those voted say over a year. They're giving Tony Khan some faith that he could pull the sucker off.
Well, hopefully the faith is not misplaced, let's say.
Yes, we want to see this work. We want to see a different presentation in professional wrestling. And the very start of AEW was really, really good where they had this as part of their presentation. It sent them away from WWE. And you know, one major kind of side complaint about AEW in the last couple of years is like they slowly became more WWE-like. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've actually seen that going around, and it has definitely been a certainly different tone for AEW in the past year. And they seem to at least be making a move to try to go back to 2021, 2022 type AEW. So I want to see this ranking system work. I want to see where we're going. We got some good storylines going, so I'm hoping we got a good 2024 coming up.
True. So one last stunning question for you. And actually comes a statement from one of our Twitter followers, and I'll give him credit here. His handle is Blue Blood, and Blue has 3 E's in it. And during Collision last night, we're watching Queen Ariana versus Thunder Rosa, which was one hell of a match. And his statement was, inside of the year, Queen Ariana should be TBS champion. Ashley, do you agree with this?
It's kind of hard to argue against it with the showing she's had over the past few weeks. She has absolutely looked outstanding these past few matches.
She has. I mean, like, this match she had with Thunder Rosa was great. And she was staying toe-to-toe with her. And she had a match 24 hours earlier on Rampage against Chris Statlander, where she was just as good. Actually, even if you look at this lady, she's a better Jay Cardale. I mean, she has the same size, same athletic talent. And I mean, I like Jade. Jade's doing things in WWE. She's getting ready to make a debut here for WWE down the road sometime. And we wish her all the best. But Queen Aniana, she's the total package. I mean, she's exactly what they were looking for when they were looking at Jay Cardale.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like that is a decent comparison. I think the issue with AEW is I think they struggle to develop talent that haven't already kind of found their niche and kind of what they're doing. Like, they took Jade Cargill as somebody who, hey, I'm an athlete. I'm here. I have presence. I have aura. Teach me to wrestle. And it seemed like they struggled to get her to a point where she wasn't like the worst wrestler I've ever seen by any stretch, but it seemed like they struggled to get her to a certain plane that they were expecting her to be. But it also comes with the fact that they don't seem to back that talent in that way. It's kind of like a sink or swim mentality in AEW. Whereas like WWE is, I think, kind of perfect for Jade because they are going to like kind of baby step her into everything that she needs to be baby stepped into. And I think that could help her development in a way that AEW was kind of like, yes, you have a look, you have stuff, we'll teach you the in-ring stuff, and then you go make it work. You know, like, they're going to teach her the promos. They're going to teach her the style.
Exactly. And really, during that time that Jade was there in AEW, you were lucky to have one women's match on a card a week. And now, in the last couple of weeks, there's been multiple times that AEW has two women's matches on a card. And there's maybe just a little bit more opportunity now for like a Queen Aniana to come into AEW, have some matches with Thunder Rosa, Chris Statlander, and keep her going with some of the better talents in AEW. And we can see what happens with this young lady because she is money waiting to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. She definitely has a presence when she comes out. Her ring entrance gear looks amazing when she comes out. If they wanted to push her, I seriously could see her at least in the TBS title picture by the end of the year.
I could too. I mean, when I saw the statement on our Twitter account, I'm going like, you know, I like Julia Hart, but yeah, I can see this being true. I can see Queen Aniana being a champion inside of 12 months or so, maybe 16 months. She stays in AEW. And if they let her go, I guarantee you, William Regal, if he's involved with talent in NXT/WWE, maybe be watching and go like, Triple H, we want to sign this one. Sign this Queen Aniana with her NXT.
Yeah, definitely. With the showing she's had the past few weeks, if they haven't already kind of quietly signed her to something, somebody's going to snatch her up. So I'm hoping they've locked her down. But if not, like you said, if they're watching in Connecticut, they're going to grab her.
Very true. We'll just have to keep our eyes on Queen Aniana as she goes forward in 2024. We wish her all the best. And that's going to end our 76 questions here on Ready Free Professional Wrestling for January the 22nd, 2024. Ashley, it's our favorite segment of the week. It's our top five matches.
It's Sean and Ashley's top five matches of the week. As they count down their five favorite matches from the past week, did your favorite match make the cut?
Okay, Ashley, you're going to see a theme in my top five matches of the week. Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay, so the theme I'm talking about is I don't have many WWE matches this week in my top five. And secondly, for the first time ever, Sean only has five matches in his top five list.
Oh, and wow. All right. So it's like a first time already.
Yes. You know, hey, you know, second time in 2044, I'm finally going by the rules here. So my number five match of the week, we're going back to AEW Dynamite. It's Top Flight versus Private Party. I put this at number five because these two tag teams are two young tag teams you could build your future around in AEW. Both of these tag teams have dealt with a lot of injuries, but when they're in the ring, they can freaking go. They're entertaining, and I love a heel Private Party, and they need to be heels, and Top Flight needs to be faces. This they can really be AEW version of Midnight Express versus Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, I'm so into this. I'm so happy Marquen is back. He looks fantastic since coming back from injury. I love the already like the development with them cheating at the end to get the win and then just kind of playing dumb about it this week. I'm very excited for this. I'm hoping we get kind of like a long term feud with these two.
That's what I'm looking forward to. I feel like that's the direction they're going, and I'm all for it. So, Ashley, what's your number five match of the week?
All right, I got one honorable mention just from New Beginning in Nagoya. I just wanted to mention TMDK taking on Okada, Ishii, Tanahashi, and Makabe. I just thought it was a fun match. I love TMDK, and I really hope those guys step up in the wake of kind of like all the losses New Japan has had recently.
Well, you know, one name we didn't mention as we were talking about that void at the main event level, and I can't believe I didn't mention it because I feel like somebody from England's going to smack me now, is Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, no, he's going to be a guy that I think could easily slide into that top like foreign heel position. So I can't wait to see what he can do given like the true like time and you know spotlight to be that person.
Very true. And I just like this match because at the end, like you were saying, Okada rolls out of the ring. He goes up the ramp just a little bit. He turns around, goes back into the ring, and bows to the crowd because this is his last time there in that city. And this is the love between the fans and Okada. You could feel it.
It's certainly going to be crazy, but everyone has said it. Like there isn't anything left for Okada to accomplish in New Japan. That dude has literally done everything you could possibly do. But the absence of him is going to just be so unbelievably huge.
Yes, it's going to be weird to say New Japan Pro Wrestling without mentioning Okada in the same sentence. I never thought we would get there, and it's going to be a little different, and it's going to take us a little time to get used to.
Yeah, definitely. Losing somebody synonymous with the top spot is always going to be tough.
Okay, so let's take a side note here for a second. About 3 years ago, I was staying with my stepdad while he was recovering from a surgery, and he said, hey, you can watch wrestling on the big TV downstairs. So he sat with me and watched some New Japan Pro Wrestling. And Okada comes down to the ring, and he notices how the crowd looks at Okada. He goes like, who's this guy? And I explained to him that this is Okada. This is the New Japan Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. And he's like the Rock to the Japanese people. He's like the Rock. He's on the same level. He may be bigger than the Rock if you compared him in Japan and the Rock in America.
It's honestly, that's a great comparison because that's why it's still so shocking that he's actually leaving New Japan. And I'm excited, but I'm also like, I'm so excited for like New Japan too, because they find a way to come through, and I'm excited to see who's going to come through next.
I am as well. And we're going to go on to my number four match of the week. And I'm going back to Collision, because Collision stepped back up to being the A show, the wrestling show. My number four match of the week is Buddy Matthew versus Daniel Garcia. And oh my word, this was a great match. And if Daniel Garcia becomes the third member of FTR as we're doing the House of Black versus FTR Garcia, I'm all here for it. Get your popcorn ready, because these matches are going to bang.
Absolutely. Daniel Garcia has been on a tear, even before the Continental Classic, but especially shined throughout that entire tournament. And this rivalry, even the matches with Brody King were fantastic. And now with his chemistry with Buddy Matthews was insane. I'm hoping this will lead to a one-on-one match with Malakai.
Tony Khan, if you're listening to this program, please book Garcia versus Malakai Black on Collision in a couple of weeks. I mean, like, that can't go wrong.
No, not at all.
Ashley, what's your number four match of the week?
All right, so number four, I went, we were talking a lot about her. I went with the Rampage match, Queen Aminata and Chris Statlander. These were two pretty evenly sized and evenly matched ladies, and I thought this was very good. Like I was saying, if they haven't quietly signed Queen Aminata to something, I'm hoping that these like last like three or four matches she's had has really opened some eyes, and they're thinking about offering her something, because if she stays, they certainly have something with her.
Yes. I mean, like, she's just this like fresh young talent that a lot of people haven't seen on national TV, and she comes out here and has this great match with Statlander. And even with the kind of semi-interference of Stokely Hathaway, and I kind of am digging this thing with Stokely Hathaway trying to be the manager of Chris Statlander and becoming like this wedge between Chris Statlander and Willow Nightingale. I want to see where this goes down the road here story-wise. But yes, this was a great match. And I'm going to piggyback this on bringing you to my number three match of the week, because I picked the match 24 hours later, where it's Thunder Rosa's first single match since 2022, and it's against Queen Ayana. And this match was a freaking banger as well.
Yeah, no, so great to see Thunder Rosa back in action the past few weeks and to finally have a singles match for the first time in like a year and a half or something like that is so great. I'm so happy she's back. She looks happy. She looks fantastic. She looks like she's, you know, like fine from her injury finally, and a great match with Queen Aminata.
And oh, hey, Tony, if you want to keep Thunder Rosa on Collision and make Thunder Rosa the centerpiece of Collision, I'm here all for it.
I'm all for like getting Thunder Rosa into like LFI or something.
I feel like having her back, her finally giving me able to wrestle again, we need to put the rocket back to her, get her back to where she was a year and a half ago, and hopefully when Jamie Hayter can come back, there's a lot of talent in this women's division now, and there's no excuse now for Tony not to put him on TV.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm going to my number two match of the week. It's Ortiz and Kingston versus the American Dragon and Claudio Castagnoli. And if you didn't see the section where poor Ortiz was in the middle of a European uppercut fest between the American Dragon and Claudio, let me tell you, I just started watching that and I felt bad for Ortiz and I felt like I need to go grab me some Advil.
Yeah, honestly, this is my number two match. It was great to see Bryan Danielson back. I absolutely love any time we see Eddie Kingston with either A, Claudio, or B, Bryan Danielson, because every single time it feels like the hatred is real between them all. Like, I feel like they really just want to beat the hell out of each other.
Oh, hey, all you need to do is watch the start of the match. Eddie Kingston gets on the top rope, like, pairing to the fans. It so annoys Claudio Castagnoli. He can't watch this. He turns his back to the ring and to Eddie Kingston until Eddie gets down. And then he steps up there and gets ready to attack Danielson.
I love it. The chemistry between those guys when they get in the ring together is absolutely insane.
It is. It's just crazy. I just love that match. It was great. Okay, so I'm going to my number one match of the week. It's back on Impact Wrestling. Ashley, can you believe I'm saying my number one match of the week came from Impact Wrestling?
I picked them as my promotion of the year last year. I'm not surprised they're going to be doing some good stuff this year. So
okay, so my number one match of the week is Josh Alexander versus Will Ospreay, number two, and it was a great match on TV. The one thing I would say about this match, if you watched it, I hope they did away with Access's cuts during the match, because SSTV, let me tell you, you have this great wrestling program called TNA Wrestling that you want to get behind. Can you not time your commercial cuts? Because all during their relaunch of TNA Wrestling, their biggest show in a lot of time, main event with Josh Alexander versus Will Ospreay, number two, there were so many freaking commercial cuts at the wrong time. And there was a few in this match. And I was trying to enjoy this match. It was still a good match. That was my only one nitpick.
Let's hope that's when they get up unedited soon.
Well, if they have it unedited, I'll go watch that sucker, because, man, it was good. Ashley, what is your number one match of the week?
All right. My number one, I'm going to quickly mention because that tag match was my number two. Number three was just DG and Buddy Matthews, but we had already spoken about it, so that's fine. But my number one match was a match that I didn't know that I was going to get this week, and I didn't know I needed it until it happened. And that's the Adam Copeland Cope Open match. Adam Copeland taking on Dante Martin. I did not expect the chemistry that these two guys had. Was unreal. The spear out of the air was crazy. Adam Copeland just continues to kill it here in AEW.
Okay, so you even see the spear from this match. go over to Rayo Free PW on Twitter. I literally retweeted that as soon as it happened, because here comes Dante Martin. He's like, ooh, let me do this cool flippy move. And Copeland's like, no, here's a spear. And like, you can see the life leave the body of Dante Martin.
Yeah, this Cope Open has kind of been killing it. I'm hoping maybe we get to see maybe a few more matches in this. So I'm hoping we get to see a few more young people step up to Adam Copeland in the next few weeks, because if they can kind of be at this caliber, this match was outstanding.
Well, you know, the one he had against Garrison like the week before was good. And you know what? As we're waiting for this third and final chapter in a feud with Christian Cage, why not have Adam Copeland on Collision having like a 10-minute match with all these little mid-tier card talent, whichever you want to look at it, and he can help them elevate. And it's like 10 minutes in front of a live crowd with a proven world champion, and they get a lot of stuff from Copeland because he gives them a lot of, in these matches. Granted, they might not win these matches, and eventually one of these talents will beat Copeland in the Copeland Cup, I do believe. I don't know who that talent would be, but that talent will get a very big feather in their cap.
Absolutely. I feel like this Cope Open was a great idea. Like you said, getting like these young people who don't get much TV time to get out there, get maybe like 8-10 minutes out in front of the crowd. Some of these performances are going to stick with people, and they're kind of building up some people for the future.
Exactly. Like, look at Dante Martin for a second. He had the great tag match on Dynamite. Then he follows it up with this on Collision. There's a lot of people leaving those buildings going like, you know that Dante Martin guy? He's pretty dang good. I might want to look and see what else he does.
Yeah, and he's got quite a nice catalog of some really good singles matches in AEW.
Very true. So that has been our top five matches of the week here on Rayo Free Professional Wrestling. Well, actually, before we go, there's one thing we didn't talk about this whole week on this show, and I feel like we need to talk about it before we go. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, there's new Ring of Honor 6-man tag team champions, and they're the Bullet Club Gold. Guns up. How about our boys finally get some gold in this group?
Finally. I'm very excited, and I'm pretty excited for the super group. Jay White as a babyface is certainly going to be interesting.
You know, we've been debating about this super group unification thing where we've seen the Acclaim come out a few times to the Bullet Club Gold, going like, hey, you know, we don't like the Undisputed Kingdom. You don't like the Undisputed Kingdom. We should be a super group. We should be the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. And the first time I heard that, I'm going like, no. Keep Jay White away from the Acclaim. No. I love the Acclaim, but Jay White's Jay White. He needs to be in his own universe. But after Collision and the response of the crowd to them finally scissoring the Acclaim and forming the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, I'm going like, okay, fine. I'll toss my hat into this group now. I'm behind it.
Listen, and if Caster's Vision is the vision, I'm for it. Jay White as champion, tag titles galore, Billy Gunn with it. I'm fine with Billy Gunn getting a singles run as long as it's short. I mean, he's absolutely looks fantastic, and he's absolutely been great in the ring still at his age. So,
you know, I could get behind a Billy Gunn TNT title run. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be forever. You know, 2-3 month reign. That's fine.
But now we got this group that can actually face off against the Undisputed Kingdom since, oh, by the way, MJF is injured. He's going to be out for who knows until probably maybe May of this year. So this new heel fashion you have, there's nobody to battle them, really. And now you got this group in the Acclaim and the Bullet Club Gold. They can do this and be that group to face against the Undisputed Kingdom until MJF comes back and gets his pound of flesh.
Yeah. I'm definitely for it. I want to see what Jay White does in this role. This is the kind of like the avenue I'm most curious about.
Me too. We're living in a world where Okada's not in New Japan Pro Wrestling and Jay White is a babyface in AEW. I got to check to see if I have a pulse right now.
2024 is starting off in a very, very strange way.
True. If you had those two things on your bingo card, I want to see your bingo card, really. I really do.
Prove it.
Yeah, prove it. Ashley, what do you think about Samoa Joe versus Hook from Dynamite? Was it a good match? Did it do anything for Hook? Or were some people right about maybe Hook wasn't ready to face Samoa Joe?
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, definitely by the crowd. The crowd definitely seemed into it. So it definitely seemed to hit with the live audience. I can see the arguments for it's Samoa Joe. It's tough for anybody to really be at Samoa Joe level. But I could see like the arguments for like maybe he wasn't ready for that. But with the way he got over and stuff, it's tough for me to like argue against it.
You know, I feel like it was a good match. It gave Hook a good showing versus Samoa Joe. And yes, a lot of people coming into this match, I'm pretty sure Samoa Joe was going to win. But you have Hook valiantly fight, and this literally will not give one F to Samoa Joe. He's not going to give him the pleasure of tapping out. He's not going to give him the pleasure of a pinfall. It's literally Samoa Joe has to put him to sleep. Now, the thing that was overhanging this match was the owner of the company that put the match together getting on his little Twitter machine and going after the WWE, trying to put Seth Rollins versus Jinder Mahal and going like, wait a minute, why is this match happening? Jinder hasn't won a match in a year. Why? Tony, why are you caring?
Right. I mean, this is like another one of those things that like, it doesn't need to be an issue, but here we are because it's an issue. I guess it's one thing to say it. I mean, it's not like Tony Khan makes any bones about it. He watches the WWE and its product and everything. So it's not like, I feel like people are often feeling like every single thing is a shot, but like you can tell when Tony Khan is taking a shot because he can't stop himself from sounding the way he does when he does it. But you're right. He doesn't need to comment on the product at all because all you're doing is bringing attention to it and attention away from your product. Just, I don't know. Somebody needs to put like a passcode on his phone or something. That way he can only get into it at certain times.
You know, he's a couple of steps away from going on to like AEW Revolution, going like, hey, Triple H, here's a free ticket. Come down here. And oh, by the way, we'll have a match. He'll channel his inner Eric Bischoff.
Yeah. And that's kind of like, that's something we don't need at all. He definitely needs like a timer or something, like a time limit feature on Twitter where he can only come on for like an hour a day or something, you know? And then he's locked out for the rest of the day.
You know, there's reports that Bryan Danielson was going around backstage being the unofficial wrestling court person for AEW, handing out fines for Twitter infractions. Is he able to find his boss?
In my opinion, yes. But that's just because I think he's the greatest wrestler. So I think he can just do it because he's the best.
You know, this blew up over the weekend that we were away on a break. And I was like watching it and I'm going like, why is this happening? And like, back in my mind, I was thinking like, you know, it's like being on Nitro and watching Tony Schiavone give away the result of Triple H versus Mankind. And everybody flips the channel over to go like, ooh, Mankind won the title? That's cool. Let's go check that out.
Right. That didn't do anybody any... Well, it didn't do WCW any favors. So, like, just talk about your own product, dude. It's not it's not hard. If it doesn't... If you're so confused about it, then it don't worry about it.
And my thing was, after that, going through the whole cycle of the events that happened during that time period where, oh, people were just jumping on, and I feel like Jinder Mahal had one of the best comebacks ever. It's like, WTF, who the beep is Hook? That was his response, and he deleted it. But look, Tony, eventually down the road, maybe Jinder Mahal is a
free
agent.
That's why it bothers me.
And like, oh, hi, you know, India, a burgeoning market for professional wrestling, and here is a Indian-born wrestler who may be a free agent in the future, and you might want to sign, and his first interaction with you is on Twitter, and he's going to go into your office and go like, do you remember when you said I wasn't worried of a world title match? Why am I here and listening to you try to give me a contract?
Yeah, I mean, outside of like somebody like Hook, who had absolutely nothing to do with what Tony Khan said, like kind of getting caught up in the whole thing, which is like something that bothers me. Like, Hook is never online. He has a Twitter account, but there's, I don't think, one post on it. Like, there's nothing there. He's never on social media. And for him to get caught up, like, in this stuff, I know he's not seeing it, but it's just dumb for him to kind of get all these shots and all these comments and stuff when he's done nothing but his job. And then second of all, like you said, this looks awful sometimes to talents who are not there. And I genuinely remember a few years ago that interaction with like Big Swole on social media that blew up. Like, all I remembered thinking at that time was like, oh my God, if I was a talent looking at a contract or an offer from Tony Khan right now, that tweet would be in my head. You know, like him just flat out being, you're terrible, you weren't good enough, like that's it. Like, I was like, how could any talent look at this and think that was acceptable?
You know, honestly, I feel like some people are right about Tony, where he just doesn't have the business acumen for professional wrestling. And I feel like he's learning on the job here and he's bumping his head. Unfortunately, he's bumping his head a lot. And eventually, it's going to cost him something. We haven't got to the point where it costs him anything yet. But I feel like if he's going and doing this, eventually it's going to come back and blow up in AEW's face.
Yeah, there's certainly a risk of that. And he needs to just chill. He needs to focus on more of like you get, you know, 1,000 comments on a post. There's going to be some bad ones. Like, you can't focus on it. It's Twitter. These are like, it's nothing. Like, you got 500 people telling you they love the show. They love it. They want to see this. They want to see that. Respond to something like that, you know?
Or, hey, you know what he could have done was simply like, well, it's Monday. We're 2 days away from Samoa Joe versus Hook. First time ever. Hook's on his amazing undefeated streak, and he's going against the new AEW champion in Samoa Joe. Check it on AEW Dynamite, 8/7 Central. Check it. Done. Easy.
Yeah, just promote the show.
True. Well, actually, we're bringing this show to an end. Where can we find you on the Super Information Superhighway?
All right. So I'm on Twitter. It's @groovy_ash_.
And of course, you can follow this show on Twitter at RadioFreePW. Also on Instagram and TikTok. Also, if you want to listen to us on YouTube, check out Radio Free Professional Wrestling. We have a YouTube channel. Please go out, subscribe, ring that bell, and we'll be adding more to our YouTube channel in the coming months here on Radio Free Professional Wrestling, because this is our groovy and stunning era. Ashley, scissor guns up.
Scissor guns up.
Christina here. On behalf of the guys, thanks for listening. Like the show? Do us a favor and share it with a friend. Have a stunning question? Email it to the show at radiofreeprowrestling@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Radio Free Pro Wrestling. Stay stunningly.